Good morning. It's good to see you this morning, and those who are watching online, thank you for joining with us today. As we continue on in our series on idols, before we get into that, I need to announce that we are having our annual meeting next Sunday, and with our schedule changes, it makes it a little more difficult with the three services, and what we're going to do is we're going to meet at 9:50 in the fellowship room. So church members, we have our children's activities live downstairs at 10 o'clock, but at 9:50 we will be meeting in the fellowship room, and we're going to need to streamline things, so appreciate your understanding and your help with that. We will be reviewing last year, minutes and the financials for 2020, and then also voting on the budget and new deacons for the upcoming year. So I want to encourage you, and I know some already do, but if you have questions, please contact the church office beforehand, and we can go through that and help answer that and prepare you for the meeting next Sunday. And again, it'll be at 9:50, and so encourage church members that can be there to be there for that next Sunday. Idols. We've been looking at idols over this month of January. And idols, we defined an idol as anything or anyone that takes the place of God in my life. And every single one of us struggles with idols. There is not a person in this world that doesn't struggle with idols. Now, as a follower of Jesus Christ, our eternity is based upon our relationship with Him. But oftentimes in our daily life, we look for things to bring satisfaction. And we need to understand that behind every idol or potential idol in our lives are a set of lies. And this morning we're going to be looking at two foundational lies that affect every idol in our life. So as we do that, let's pray and ask for God's blessing this morning. Father, as we come before you, may you be glorified. May Jesus Christ be lifted on high, and Lord, may we be encouraged and challenged in our relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, these idols in our life, there are things that we are tempted to put in God's place. Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 25 says this, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Notice there in verse 25, it says that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And any idol in our lives involves taking the truth of God and exchanging that for a lie. And any idol that we have in our lives are brought into our lives because of these two lies that Satan gives to us. Lie number one, God is not enough. We seek out idols because we believe that we cannot have satisfaction in God alone. And this occurs in one of a couple ways. Either we believe that God is not able to satisfy us, or we say that He is not willing to satisfy us. He's not willing to provide what I need for fulfillment, contentment, and joy in my life. And so I need to seek out something else. In Exodus chapter 32, we find the nation of Israel in the wilderness as they were waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain where he was meeting with God, Mount Sinai. And so they were there at the base of the mountain. They had camped out. Moses went up, and he was up there for quite a while on the mountain. And one of the things that happened while he was there is he received the Ten Commandments. But as he was up on the mountain and time went on, the people began to become impatient. And they began to wonder if God was really what they needed, if he was to be able to fulfill them. They wondered, where is Moses? Notice what it says in verse 1 of Exodus 32. It says, "Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, 'Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.'" In other words, they had seen God miraculously bring them out of Egypt. They had seen him miraculously allow them to cross the Red Sea and destroy the Egyptians as the Egyptians came after them. But as time went on, they began to question, where is God in this? Moses went up to the mountain. He's not coming down. Does God really care? We must look to something else to satisfy us. So what did they do? They got together with Aaron and they provided the gold, jewelry, and things that they had, and they built a golden calf that they could worship. Why? Because they didn't believe that God was sufficient. Is God enough? Can he provide what we need, or does he care? Now, the second lie goes right along with the first lie. The first lie, we question God. The second lie is this: my idol will bring true, lasting satisfaction. I don't know that God will, but I'm going to look to something to replace God, and I believe that whatever it is, it will bring lasting satisfaction. In 1 John chapter 2, the Apostle John writes and he shares three different attitudes that are the basis for any temptation we face, but actually also the basis of any idol that we're drawn to. And notice what it says in verse 16, 1 John chapter 2. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." If you go all the way back to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve, Satan came to them and tempted them with eating the fruit, you'll see that they were tempted in all three of those areas, and they fell in all three of those areas. In verse 6 of Genesis chapter 3, it says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." Satan tempted Adam and Eve with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Notice all three. The lust of the flesh, it would taste good. The lust of the eyes, it looked good. It was pleasant to the eyes. And the pride of life, it will make them wise. Whenever you are tempted, it's going to be one or more of those three attitudes that Satan is going to tempt you with. The lust of the flesh, it feels good. The lust of the eyes, it looks good. The pride of life, it's going to make me wise. It's going to help me. And so we see that idols have those same three attitudes. And idols are Satan's counterfeit. And Adam and Eve struggled with the idol of pride and desired to control their own lives. I want this. I don't want somebody telling me what I can or cannot do. So I want to live my own life. I want to make my own rules. And so that's what they did. They fell for the idol of pride. But what Satan was offering to them was neither satisfying nor permanent. And that choice was sin, and it separated them from God. And because of Adam's sin, we find in Romans chapter 5, because of their sin, we see that we have all sinned. We are all born as sinners. We all do things that go against God's word. And so God had a plan to restore that fellowship. And in that, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the payment for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And we have hope. We can have contentment and joy for eternity because of that. And so if you're here this morning and you have never come to a place in your life when you've prayed and asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and to be your Savior, you have that separation from God because of sin. And you can have that relationship restored by accepting Christ's gift of salvation. But for each one of us who are followers of Christ, we have our eternity secure in Christ, but we still have daily battles with idols in our lives, just like we have daily battles with temptation in our lives. And so, how do we handle that battle? We have to recognize that God alone is sufficient and enough, and nothing else should take the place of God. And so we must place our hope in him and recognize that he alone can bring satisfaction, contentment, fulfillment, and joy. The story of the woman at the well reminds us that God alone can truly provide our satisfaction, our hope, and our joy. So in John chapter 4, we see the story of Jesus and his disciples. They were going south to north or north to south, but they were traveling through Samaria. And as they were traveling through Samaria, which by the way in itself was odd because the Israelites would go around Samaria if at all possible, because they wanted nothing to do with those, they called them half-breeds, the Samaritans. Sort of like us, if we wanted to go to Minnesota, we're going to try to avoid North Dakota. Right? Not really. Never mind. So, growing up in Montana, North Dakota jokes. You guys remember North Dakota jokes? All right. So they would try to do that, and so the disciples were like, what's going on? This must be urgent. But then they stop in Samaria, and the disciples go into town to get some food, and Jesus is there sitting by this well. And as he's sitting by this well, this lady comes out. It's the middle of the day. She comes out to get water, and that in itself was strange because they would usually go out early in the morning, so it would not be hot out, and usually a group of them would go out together. But she was going out alone. Why? Because she was an outcast from her own people. Her own town rejected her. And so it was much easier for her to go when she was alone and not around the others that despised her, even if it meant going in the heat of the day. So Jesus is by the well, this lady comes out, and he tells her something very interesting in verses 13 and 14 of John chapter 4. It says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water, that's the water from the well, will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is saying, listen, I can give you something that is truly satisfying and fully permanent. Now, as human beings, we need water to survive, but Jesus was talking about not just surviving in this life, but surviving in hope for eternity. And the story here is talking about salvation that comes in Christ, but it also helps us realize that in my daily life, I must look to Him for anything that is truly permanent, that is truly satisfying. And so what happened with this lady? She went back and she told the people of that town, those people that despised her, she shared with them about this man that told everything about me. You see, Jesus Christ exposed the idols in her life. Her idol of being accepted. Because He told her story to her in those verses surrounding verses 13 and 14 that we read. And He told her story that she had been married 5 times and the guy that she was living with currently wasn't her husband. And she was trying so hard to find satisfaction, to find fulfillment in something other than God alone. And so she went back and shared with her town about this man that told her all about her life and the recognition that our hope is in God and God alone. You know, the picture of water, we can be in the boat in the middle of the ocean and die of thirst because there's water all around us, but it's salt water. And that's what Satan's lies are like, and the counterfeit, the idols that Satan tries to encourage us. And again, remember, we talked about idols. Idols aren't necessarily bad things. They may be good things that are put in the wrong position. Our idols can be something good in our life, but if it takes the place of God, it's in the wrong place. It's an idol in our life. But we must realize that God does care and that God can provide all we need. And we must also recognize that anything else is neither permanent nor truly satisfying. 1 Timothy chapter 6 reminds us about this, and it tells us that we should enjoy what we have, but don't live for it. How many times have we spent all an effort focusing, oh, if I just had this, then I would be satisfied. You may never get whatever it is, or even if you get it, what do you recognize? That it really didn't bring the satisfaction that you thought it would. Why? Because God and God alone can satisfy. And anything or anyone else that we put in God's position is an idol. And idol worship ends with disappointment and destruction. Solomon attempted to find fulfillment in the idols of power, possessions, and pleasure. And it's interesting that you see that Solomon was considered the wisest man in the world. But in this area, he was truly a fool. The book of Ecclesiastes is an autobiography of Solomon's life. And it's written at the end of his life. And if you look in human terms, Solomon was the ultimate in a success story. I mean, he was king of one of the most powerful nations, if not the most powerful nation in the world at the time. He had anything he wanted. He had power, position, wealth. But in Ecclesiastes, he shares about how all the things that he had and all the things that he desired and was able to accumulate in his life did not bring satisfaction. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the first 11 verses, share an overview of his life. Here's what he said beginning in verse 1. He said, "I said in my heart," Solomon speaking, Come now, I will test you with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, this or what does it accomplish? I searched my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards. I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. And not only did he have these servants, but over a long period of time where generations of servants were there. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. What is Solomon saying? He's saying, I tried everything, but nothing could take the place that God and God alone deserves. And nothing could bring the satisfaction that God and God alone can bring. Our hope must be in God and only God. Enjoy what we have, but don't live for it. Put God in first place in our lives. And when we put God in first place in our lives, then, and only then, will we have the contentment, the fulfillment, and the joy that God could bring. We must not fall into Satan's trap. Those two lies. One, God doesn't or can't or won't provide what you need. And number two, something else can. Because both of those are lies. Next week, we're going to be looking at how idols affect my relationships. Obviously, we've been looking how it affects our relationship with God, but idols destroy our relationships with others. In our marriages, in our families, in our friendships, in the workplace, wherever our relationships are. The lies that idols give will greatly affect those relationships in very negative ways. And we'll be looking at that next week. I trust that you will be with us as we do. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness and your love. And Lord, as we come before you this morning, may we recognize that our hope is in you and you alone. Lord, I pray that people won't leave this morning discouraged, defeated, but rather that we would be encouraged in recognizing the incredible hope that we have in you. And Lord, may we examine idols in our lives and put them aside to make sure you are in your rightful position. And we will give you the glory and the praise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.